If you ever see those little advertisements you get sometimes, the ones that are just addressed to current resident, sometimes those annoy me. You know, the ones that are for a service that you already have, and they're giving you a better price than what you already have, but they have that little asterisk on it. This is for new customers only. Like, I remember back in the olden days when I got that rate. Not anymore. Not anymore. And you start to think, well, now hold on. You're taking a risk on a new customer. You don't know if they're going to stick around. I've been a loyal customer for years. If anything, I should get the good rate. I don't complain. I pay my bill on time. Why don't I get the cheaper rate? And I understand the business reason, because the business can look at someone who's been a customer for a long time and not complaining and think, yeah, we're not doing anything for that guy. But a new customer, someone who's not getting their service yet, well, now they have to work a little bit. It still just bugs me sometimes, though. Those things where you realize you're missing out, or even worse, what if you sign up for the service a day or two before the deal starts? I'm sorry, you're saying if I had waited a couple more days, it would be 20% off? All right, how long do I have to stay canceled for in order to get this deal? Sometimes you call up and you tell them that, you know what, I don't want to be with you guys anymore. I'm going to find a new cell phone company. And maybe they'll say, actually, we could give you 10% off if that makes any difference. But how often do you want to try that? Going through the hassle, and what if they call your bluff? All right, I'll cancel your line right now. Wait, hold on. I didn't mean cancel. I just mean look in your system and see if there's a coupon. You know, we have that sometimes with people around us as well. If you ever had a good friend or someone you would spend a lot of time with, and they get involved in something new, and you start seeing their time be split in another direction. Like, hey, we used to do fun stuff like that. Now you found someone else to go bowling with. And yeah, I don't want to go bowling anymore, but we could find something else. And you start to wonder why you're sticking around for these things. What would it be to be fair? Of course, Jesus knew that people have this reaction of wondering if it's worth sticking around, if it's a fair system. That was one of the parables that Jesus told. The parable of a man hiring workers. And he starts out early in the morning and they hire a group of people. And they start to work and they're working and working and working into the day until a few hours later he goes and hires another group. Now two groups are working, one a little fresher than the other. After lunch, he sees more people that are looking for work, and so he hires them as well. And finally, just when they're about ready to start wrapping things up for the day, he hires a last group of people. And at the end of the day, he gathers them in, ready to hand out payment, starting with people who only worked for that last hour, and he gives them a whole day's worth of work, payment. And then the next group comes, and he pays them the same amount as well. And the people from the beginning of the day are starting to wonder, now hold on, how much are we going to get paid here based on what he paid the people who worked for an hour or for half the day? And when they finally do get their payment, they complain. Excuse me, you only paid us for one day's work. Well, yes, you worked one day. Yeah, but the thing is, people came at the very last hour and they got the same pay as us. What are you doing here? You know, in the parable, Jesus brings that point home. Are you being upset because we're generous to other people? But it's easy to get upset that way. To feel like, even if it is a measure of someone's generosity, why couldn't that generosity be pointed a little bit more towards me? Sometimes we have that in the church today. Many times I've wondered what it would have been like to be one of those people walking around with Jesus, to see his ministry. I was just born too late. We missed out. Even to be there in the book of Acts, to see the church expanding in that way, in the ministry. And what does it mean when you see all these miracles that are being done? These people who, when they come to faith, great things happen. And I think for a lot of us, we have that experience ourselves, that when you first come to faith, it seems like all kinds of things are happening. Big changes in your life and excitement. But what is God doing now? We're in Acts chapter 9 here, and Acts chapter 9, we're continuing the development of the church, but now a fair amount of time has passed. The first few chapters all occur, it seems, pretty quick after the time of Jesus. But during this last section, when we start seeing Saul and his conversion and those little markers like in verse 19 of chapter 9, for some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. Verse 23, when many days had passed, these markers that more and more time is passing. And so although you start in chapter 7 and 8, perhaps only a couple of years have gone by, 1 or 2 years of the church. By the time we get now to the second half of chapter 9, it may have been up to 10 years or so that the church has been ministering, that time has been passing, that this really quite brief account of Saul and his missionary work in the area really covers a longer stretch of time. So now it's been a while. That initial shine is starting to wear off, and it's not just a church of recent converts, but now people who have been in the church for a while and churches that have developed their own type of feel and their own locations throughout the area. And so we pick up in Acts 9, verse 32. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the way you are at work in our hearts and our minds today, and we ask that you would open up to us the knowledge of your word, that you would do a transforming work on us, that we would be able to apply this to our hearts and take it with us in the weeks ahead. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we have an interesting story, because up to this point we have seen many stories of healing. Throughout Jesus' ministry, there were many stories of healing. We know in summary that there was a lot of healing that was going on in the ministry of the apostles. But now it is a little different. Almost every story of healing has been... Felt like my mic was cutting out there for a second. So if we have technical difficulties, we'll have to deal with it. The stories of healing up till now have been focused on new conversion, almost exclusively. That Jesus, of course, in his ministry, he was having people brought to him and he would heal them. And many of those people went on to have faith and to follow him. In the early church, we see them going and doing these miraculous works. The people of the areas coming and bringing their sick. That healing is done and people come to faith. The church grows. Now, though, we see something a little bit different. Not just new converts, but people who've been in the church for a while. But the message is the same, that God heals his people. God heals his people. We see this first with Aeneas, that Peter is visiting the church. We see in verse 31, all these churches are growing. Peter is going and visiting these churches, and he sees this man, Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who is paralyzed. Now, this is late enough that if Aeneas was an early convert, perhaps someone who had traveled to Jerusalem and been part of that day of Pentecost and the times just after that when many were coming to faith and then moved out to this town afterwards, he may have already been a believer when he became paralyzed. Or perhaps he came to faith later and he was paralyzed at the time and he came to faith without being healed there. Because certainly we know that not everyone who comes to faith is healed in that moment. Whatever the case, we see this faithful man in the church who is bedridden. For him to participate in the church services, of course, they had mostly house churches and meetings in the synagogue, but it would have to be every time, hey, why don't you guys come to my place? After all, I can't get out of bed. So if I want to participate, you're going to have to come to me. And Peter, would, as he visits the church, would come to this man and see him. And this man is healed. Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. It's actually interesting. The word there for make your bed is translated more literally as like spread it out. A couple of times, it seems to refer to beds, and it also is the same word used for like Jesus and his disciples getting together and prepare the upper room. You'll find it prepared, a spread put out. So this translation has it as make your bed. It also could be get up and come to the table. Come and eat with us. Now he is healed and he rises. All the residents saw him and they turned to the Lord. And then we see the story of Dorcas, this woman who would have been a disciple for some time because she was full of good works, acts of charity, that she had done a lot in the church, who gets sick and dies. And Peter comes to her and restores her to life. She is raised up and the people rejoice at that as well. If there was any concern that this miraculous work of God, this healing power and God's intervention in the life of people was reserved only for those who do not yet know him, this is putting it to rest. Now we see the faithful people being healed. That God heals his people. He continues to heal his people. That those who are following God are also able to be touched by him and changed by him in the midst of their life. So these times of change and healing and direction are not reserved just for the new converts, although certainly many of us coming to faith have that time of immediate change where we feel like even if it's not a physical healing that happens, we feel that God is doing a great work, healing our hearts, moving us in a new direction that we thought was impossible. That God is caring for his people. And more than that, God continues to offer that promise of the future when all will be set right. This is not limited just to this earthly body. But those who are faithful, we hold on hope that as great as it is following God here, as much joy we have, and hopefully as you continue in faith, you have more and more joy in the presence of God, in the reading of his word, in spending time in prayer, in the worship, gathering together with his people. But even the heights of that, we know, will pale in comparison to what lies ahead. That there is a time coming when God will fully heal his people, when a new life begins and all is set right. God is at work in his church now. We are looking forward to that day. There's a second aspect of this, though, as well. Because God is healing his people, but he's doing this work through his people. God works through his people. We see that Peter is the messenger sent out. That Peter is coming to these churches and God is working through Peter. Certainly it's not the strength of Peter himself that heals either of these people, but it's the power of God as God works through his people. Peter is the tool used to proclaim this message. That the Holy Spirit is at work through him, and the Holy Spirit is at work through all of God's people today as well. God works through his people. So many Sundays I pray that God would open the eyes of us in this congregation to see what he would point us to in the week ahead. Because God has chosen, and this is the theme throughout Acts, the continuing ministry of Jesus is done not now with Jesus there personally doing the ministry, but through the people of God sent out. God working through his people to bring this message to all who would hear it. So Peter we see here being that messenger, but we are all called to do that work as well. Each of us, being faithful followers of Jesus, has the Spirit of God upon us and working in us. We can choose the measure of obedience that we have. And it can be frightening to respond sometimes to that prompting. But because this is how God has chosen to work in his kingdom, in his wisdom, we must act. The work of Peter here, it is done in a way that points others to faith. Both of these stories end with a note of, in verse 35, the residents of Lydda and Sharon turning to the Lord. In verse 42, this becomes known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. This healing power of God, this changing of people's lives, is not without a purpose. It's not even just for the personal enjoyment of the people healed, but to point others to faith. God working through his people, pointing others to his power. These two people and the organization of the church around them, those gathered with them, would be proclaiming what God had done. Here was a man paralyzed for 8 years, and now he walks. Here is a woman who died, and yet she lives again, to proclaim that message. We see, though, it is not just in these big things that we see God at work, but we also see him at work in the small things and the everyday things. God is healing his people here. He is working through his people. This is also a passage where we see that God remembers his people. God remembers those who are his and their work in the church. Luke, especially as he's going through Acts, focuses not just on those highlights, not just on the few big names and attributes everything to them. But over and over again, we see these little notes of what other faithful people are doing. We see this with Dorcas, this woman who was listed as full of good works and acts of charity. The people who come in verse 39, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made. The work she had done to clothe and keep warm the people in the church and in the community. to care for them, remembered here for all time in the words of Scripture. We see in verse 43, Simon the tanner, a note of where Peter stayed and who cared for him. We've seen this earlier, Judas on Straight Street, who took in Saul in his blindness. Ananias, who came and healed his sight. God remembers his people. It is not just the large moments in life that God remembers. The little things count. In the way you live your life day in and day out. The times of comforting a friend, a fellow believer. The work of God's kingdom is full of many people doing many small tasks. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, God uses them all. We are called in the same way to minister. We see this here as we go through Acts, this work of the expanding kingdom of God, the continuing ministry of Jesus. And we know that this is projected out not just to the end of this book, but to us today, that God is at work among his people now. He continues to work change in the hearts of his people, to care for them. That God is working through his people. When we come to communion, I often encourage you to reflect on the people who brought the gospel to you. To remember that there was a chain of believers, generation after generation, that proclaimed that message, that made the word of God accessible to you. To remember the part that you may have in that chain. We only see a few stories of the believers of the early church. People who were at the right point to make it into this chapter. Who were lifted up in a few small details. Ah, she's the one who made those garments. Many more people are remembered not in the words of Scripture, but in the community of faith. To be pointed to and say, ah, yes, she made all of those quilts and gave so many of them away. They brought in so many people to feed when they were hungry. Time and time again, they went and took care of those who were less fortunate. And occasionally those big stories, you remember they were there on that night of revival. Those stories that are big to one person, they're the one who sat and prayed with me, who told me what the gospel really meant and urged me to respond. God remembers his people. We know that in the end, when Christ returns, that he will see all of us. If we live to that day or if we die before then. And he will be able to know how much you did to serve him. What measure of faith you had and how you lived your life. To be able to say whether you did a good job or a poor job. To look at all that you have made and test it by fire is one of the images it uses. See what lasts and what burns away. Passages like this are a reminder to take care in the way that we are shaping our life. To not become disillusioned, as it is so easy to do, even after years of faith, to say, I'm not sure this is really for me or is doing much for me anymore. Or to say, I think God's done enough work on my life and the little bit that remains, well, those sins are just for me. Or I'm not sure God can use me anymore. My time is done. I'm just waiting to go home. But to know that God has put each of us here, according to his purposes, empowered by his Spirit. And in that strength, he works through it, this church, for each of you individually. We pray for revival. And God certainly is able to bring revival to this town, to this valley, to this state. And he chooses to work through his people. When God is at work, what will you be doing? How will you be remembered in your faith? How is God calling you to serve his church and the world and to point others to faith? For these few, we don't see what happens in the rest of their ministry. What Dorcas does with however many years she has after that. What Aeneas does now that he can walk. But we see the first step, to announce that God has been at work in their life and to lead others to praise him. So should it be with us, to announce that God is at work in each of our lives and to point others to that faith as well. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence here, for the gift of your Spirit. And we ask that you would stir us up to know and to love you, that you would give us boldness to go and to serve and to speak, that you would do a great work through us, that we would be there to see your glory and the work that you do on many lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.